I'm scared now. I wasn't feeling nervous until this point in time, but Chris has just put a recording device down next to me. So I have to be on best behaviour.
Oh.
I can't deny anything now.
Say something crazy just because.
Yeah.
Just because you can.
Okay.
Shame about that guitar player.
Yeah, just shame about that guitar player.
There's a bit of noise from somewhere.
My apologies if nobody else can park in the car park this morning because of my giant wagon. Basically,
midlife crisis on wheels.
Yeah, basically the Scooby-Doo wagon married a monster truck and I bought its baby. And it's sitting outside church, so yeah, there we go. Never mind. We didn't expect anything else from me, really, would you? No, I'm getting lots of shakes head. Getting stickers to
put on there. Stickers.
Yeah. I'm going to say it again.
Could I have someone to come and... You don't necessarily need them, but if you want them, if you want to scribble on your sheets later on your tables, you can have those pens.
One
if you
for could
everyone. Just hand them out. Put one on each table. Not one for everyone, just one on each table. You don't necessarily need them, it's just if you want to make notes or write anything down. You don't absolutely have to. Okay. Awesome. Now then. So, the Holy Spirit, God's invisible presence. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is our companion, our comfort, our source of strength, our wisdom. So, the last couple of weeks the last 3 weeks we've been learning about living surprising lives, developing Jesus-like habits that surprise the people around us. We've been talking about blessing other people. We've been talking about having the habit of blessing other people. We've been talking about having the habit of eating with other people. And I want to just challenge us this morning that how can we hope to do any of those things? How can we hope to live surprising lives? How can we hope to bless other people, to truly bless other people? How can we hope to eat with people and drink with people in a way that enables the love of Jesus to touch their lives, unless we have the presence of the Holy Spirit to guide us towards Jesus and away from sin? How can we hope to do those things if we cannot personally hear the voice of God through the Holy Spirit? And, when I was thinking about the Holy Spirit drawing us towards Jesus and away from sin, I was thinking, it's always easy to think, sin's not a popular word, but it's always easy to think of the obvious things, isn't it? But it's not the obvious things that normally that normally prevent us from blessing other people or inviting them over for a meal or just living life in a surprising way. It's the things like fear and laziness that are the things that hold me back. And, fear and laziness will give us endless reasons not to do these things. They'll tell us that, we're too busy to do these things. And, we need to put ourselves first and sort out. There's always too many things to sort out to do that kind of stuff, isn't there? And the Holy Spirit counters our worst impulses to put ourselves first and to say we're just too busy to bless other people. The Holy Spirit separates God's truth from the world's version of truth and from our version of truth. The Holy Spirit separates God-honoring intentions from self-honoring intentions. And without the Holy Spirit, actually it's really hard sometimes to know the difference. Sometimes I think I have got God-honoring intentions in here, and it's not until the Holy Spirit gently taps me on the shoulder that I realise that actually they're self-honoring intentions and that Really, I'm doing it to suit me and to please me. And to be a godly presence, you must know God's presence. And you have to know God's presence, you have to hear God's voice through the Holy Spirit. And I think there can often be a tendency that we can want to rely on the pastor or rely on somebody else to give us that voice, to hear God's voice instead. But Jesus came to break down the barriers so that we could come into God's throne room, as we sang, personally, ourselves. And if we're only ever hearing God through other people, we're selling ourselves short on the relationship with God. And so, unless, I really do believe this as well, and I experience this in my own life, because we have times when we have weeks and we have moments and we have days and we have minutes when we find ourselves in God's presence and when we find ourselves far away from God's presence. And it's my experience that unless I spend time in God's presence listening to the Holy Spirit's voice, I am going to appear no different than the frantic, hurried, busy people that surround me. And it's the same for all of us, isn't it? If we're going to appear different, we have to spend time listening to God's voice. So the third habit that we're talking about today provides fuel and accountability for the mission life. And it's just exactly like Alison said earlier. I love the fact that God ties everything together. Before, you know, Alison didn't know what I was going to say. I didn't know what Alison was going to say. But as I was listening to her talking about the fuel for the airplane, and I used to fly airplanes, it was a really potent image for me. And it is fuel and accountability for the mission of life. Why do I say accountability? Fuel's kind of is easy to understand, isn't it? We need that fuel to push us through, propel us through life in God's presence. But what about accountability? I mean, we talk about accountability to each other, accountability to the body of Christ in the church. But actually, our accountability, first and foremost, before anything else, is to Jesus, the head of the church. Let's not forget, the head of the church is Jesus. And our accountability is to him. And we don't get that accountability unless we're having that one-to-one relationship with him, where we hear his voice firsthand. That little tap on the shoulder that says, should you really be doing that? That little tap on the shoulder that says, well done, keep going in that direction. That first-hand accountability that comes from hearing God's voice and the fuel that comes from the Holy Spirit's presence. So with the other ones, I kind of saved the challenge until the end. But I'm going to tell you what the challenge is at the beginning this time, and then we're going to unpack how we're going to meet that challenge, because it's not easy. The third challenge for this week, we've had the first challenge. The first challenge, obviously, was to bless three people. One in the church, one outside the church, and one spare during the week. The second challenge was to eat with three people. One inside the church, one outside the church, and one spare. And obviously, they're not legalistic. It's just a challenge, you know, if you don't manage it. But it's something to encourage you, to spur you on. The third challenge is to spend a chunk of time, one chunk of time, it's not much, just one chunk of time in the week listening to the Holy Spirit's voice. A minimum of one. You don't have to just do one. I would encourage you to do more, but the challenge is to spend one good chunk of time this week listening to the Holy Spirit's voice. And this week is all about fostering the habit of listening to God. And I would recommend that it would be good to do this at the beginning of the week, because you need fuel before you go, and you need accountability before you know what you're supposed to be doing. And there's another reason. Something really struck me. I was doing a Bible study quite a while back now, and something stayed with me from it that I've never forgotten. And there's a missionary to Mozambique whose ministry I really, really look up to. I mean, it's an incredible mission, ministry with street orphans. And the lady that runs this, she always talks about working from the place of rest. And I looked into this, and what she was talking about was, I pointed out, if you read the creation story in Genesis, now we always think, work 6 days and then rest on the seventh, yeah? Because that's what God did. But if you notice, God did that. He worked for 6 days and he rested on the seventh. But for man, it was the other way round. Because God created man on the sixth day. And the first day that man had was a day of rest. And then man started his work in the Garden of Eden from a place of rest. And I believe there's a real spiritual message in that for us that should apply to all of our lives. And I found it's applied to my ministry, and I've really found the truth within this, that if I want to be effective for God in ministry, the most important thing that I can ever do is rest in God's presence to start with. If I don't spend time resting in God's presence to start with, the rest of the week is kind of pointless. It doesn't matter how hard I work. It doesn't matter how many hours I do. It doesn't matter what effort I put in. If I haven't spent the time first resting in God's presence, my work isn't going to amount to much. And so I would suggest that a very biblical reason for spending time in God's presence at the beginning of the week. For many people, listening to God's voice can be a bit like listening to... Who's ever been to an airport? Yeah, busy airport, the tannoy comes on. Can you hear what the announcer is saying? I mean, I strain my ear as hard as I can, and I'm thinking, was that my flight? Was that my deck? Was that my gate? I'm really not sure. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. And, you know, and I think for a lot of people, listening to the Holy Spirit's voice can be like trying to listen to a tannoy at a busy airport. You really have to strain to hear God's voice over the noise in our lives. And sometimes there's so much else going on, you're still really not sure if you've heard right. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. Everything else has to be turned off. But that's not a very natural thing to do. We need to talk less and learn to listen. And I believe that solitude and silence and prayer are a real key to hearing God's voice, finding time. So, how are we going to go about this? Well, first word for you to remember is stop. Stop. Set aside time for solitude. At least once this coming week, set aside a good chunk of time for solitude. Stop. I know, I can see some people's faces. Where am I going to do this? Where am I going to do that?
Sounds lovely.
It does sound lovely, doesn't it? It sounds nice. Do you ever... It's good. This is a good morning because I'm telling you that your challenge this week is to go and do something really nice. Okay? Do you ever have silence or space in your life?
Yes.
I mean, we have three kids, so there's usually a lot of noise going on. I'm very blessed that I can grab a bit of silent time after the children have gone to school. I'm not sure how often the children manage to get silent time, Abs. Lock yourself in your room away from the boys. Faith, she kind of goes out with the kids, comes back with the kids. You know, it can be a challenge, can't it? You know, for some of us it can be easy to find solitude and silent time. For others of us, it can be really hard to find that time. Stop. It made me think, as I was thinking about that stop, I was thinking about, you know, often when I'm driving home from the kids, driving the kids home from school, the boys and I, we like to people watch. people watching is fun, right? And there's always this one teenager walking down the road. He's kind of in the middle of nowhere, but we're driving up. And the boys have nicknamed him Phone Guy. Because we're always afraid we're going to run him over. Because he's never, ever looking where he's going. He's got headphones in and he just walks like this constantly, whether it's raining, windy, sunshine, whatever the weather, whatever's happening, and he'll wander across the road, he'll kind of wander in and off of the verge, so engrossed in the noise in his ears and what's going on his screen. But it's not just young people. When I go around and visit people, often many of more elderly people that I meet, that I go and visit, constantly have the television on or the radio on. And I understand why, because it combats loneliness and it gives you that feeling of being somebody always being around. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not knocking the young person on the phone or other people having the television on all the time. But what I'm saying is that in our society, in our life, it's become very, very acceptable to never have solitude, to always have some noise, always have something going on. There's always some stimulation. And, you know, there's one thing that I think we can learn from Scripture. God isn't rude. He doesn't interrupt you. He doesn't force himself on you. He won't. If you don't make space to hear his voice, he won't shout. He won't turn your telly off. He won't stamp on your iPhone. He'll just wait patiently until you want, you really want to hear him. And so it's really important, the stop. If we're going to work from a place of rest, then we need to stop. This has made a big difference to me. It really has. And I don't always, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I get this, I do this every week or that. Do you know, actually, most weeks I mess it up. I don't do this, I don't remember to stop, but the weeks that I do remember to stop, I really notice the difference. I really do. So, created on the sixth day, rested on the seventh. The second one is create space. So first, stop. Second, create space. What do I mean by that? Get rid of distractions.
Yeah,
kids. Yeah, get rid of distractions. Because you will, you know, there are so many things that can distract us. But, you know, I was reading the book in preparation this week, and I didn't entirely agree with what the guy said in the chapter, but I think that it would apply very, very well to some people. So I'm going to share that with you, but I'm also going to share some of my own experience with you as well. The book basically said, get rid of all distraction. They suggested, you're going to hear God's voice, go sit in a quiet, dimmed or darkened room, curtains closed, no music, no noise, no nothing. Fold your hands, sit on your hands, you know, get rid of all distractions. And they recommended that you just sit there for at least 20 minutes. And they said you will probably find distractions for the first 10 to 15 minutes that you cannot get distractions out of your head. But about 15 minutes, your brain will start to slow down and you start to get into a place where you can start to hear God's voice. Now, I personally would find that very, 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 very hard. And I know that different people connect with hearing God's voice in different ways. And I want to say this morning, it's not about the method. The method doesn't matter. It's the end result. And if that helps you, try it and do it. If it doesn't help you, find something else. This same missionary from Mozambique, Heidi Baker, she not only talked about working from a place of rest, but she also used to talk an awful lot about finding your secret place. This is the place that you meet with God, the place that you hear God's voice best. And that might be somewhere in here. It might be somewhere out there. It might be a way in which you do something. When I was in Canada at Bible College, my secret place was a physical location. There was, on the flat prairies, It's so flat they used to joke if your dog ran away, you'd see it fall in the sea 2,000 miles later. So there's no trees on the prairie, it's just flat wheat fields. If you go for a 2-hour walk, the people in town can still see you. You don't get much privacy. I discovered this little place where there were some old chicken sheds that would no longer have chickens in, and they were surrounded by a few trees, very rare on the prairies. This was my secret place with God, and I used to ride up there on my bike, and it was happened to be on the way to the airport where I was learning to fly, so I'd leave a bit early or I'd drop off on the way back, and I would stop in there, and I would just talk to God, and I would listen to God, and I would hear his voice. I knew it was time to leave Canada.
You walk up and down. You're not.
I do. I pace. I can't sit still. When I hear God, when I listen to God, I pace up and down. I have to move. And I often get quite expressive. In fact, you'd probably laugh. If you saw me at home, if I'm having a quiet time with God in the kitchen, I'll be walking around the kitchen like this, my hands in the air, listening to God and responding. But everybody's different. Everybody is different, and I'm not telling you do it a certain way. Just find how God made you. God made you a particular way, and he wants to speak to you in a particular way. We're all different. I knew it was time to leave Canada when the farmer bulldozed my little chicken sheds down. It was time to come out with the sign. It was the sign. So you could try getting rid. But whatever you do, you need to get rid of distractions. For me now, I quite like to go ride my bike up onto the mountains and I'll stop beneath a tree, you know, sit down, hear God's voice. He said, the guy in the book's like, oh, you know, don't even be where you can hear birds singing or anything like that. For me, hearing birds singing really tunes me into God's voice. So get rid of distractions. Whatever distracts you, get rid of it. Whatever brings you closer to God, find it. Do it, be in it. But whatever you do, stop, find solitude, get rid of distractions. My friend in Swansea, he used to surf, and as he was riding the waves and feeling the power, he could hear God's voice better. So, yeah, whatever works for you. Try different things until you find your secret place. I know some people imagine in their mind that they are in... They imagine a place that is most peaceful to them that they've ever been, and they imagine meeting Jesus in that place. That doesn't work for me. I'm not that kind of person.
You have no imagination.
I have no imagination. I have absolutely no imagination. Spades are spades to me. I've been in meetings where they've done that. You know, imagine, I'm like, I'm trying. I really am. I can't see anything. But God will meet you. God made you that. You know, find your secret place. Find your secret place. Think about it. Now, if you're thinking, well, okay, where in the Bible does it say about this? Well, let's take Jesus as an example. Jesus was constantly getting away from his disciples and finding empty places where he could have solitude, the tops of mountains, often, where he could have solitude with his Father and talk to God. And then he told the people who followed him, I only do what I hear my Father telling me to do. I only do what I hear from my Father. It says, chapter 5, verse 30, by myself, this is Jesus speaking, by myself I can do nothing. Jesus is our perfect example, remember? He became like us to be our perfect example. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear from my Father. And my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. And it's the same with us. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, now I send you. And as we are sent by Jesus, we should only do what we've heard Jesus say to us through the Holy Spirit. And we can't do that unless we follow Jesus' example of getting some solitude, getting away. The disciples and people were constantly losing him. Where's Jesus gone? He would sneak out. I'm not telling people where I'm going. He's sneaking out. He's on the top of a mountain somewhere. He's found his secret place. So, stop.
Don't tempt me.
Create space. Do it. Stop. Create space. And number 3 is commune with God. commune with God. Once you've created space and got rid of distractions, you've got to let God in. And, you know, we're not meditating. We're not emptying our heads. We've got to let God in. It can be very tempting to always fill even our empty space with requests to God, telling God why we're there. God knows why we're there. And just what I would suggest is just use that time to enjoy God's presence. Start by just simply enjoying God's presence. For me, often that might mean that I read my Bible first before I have a quiet time. Because always God will speak to me, maybe not necessarily speak to me through what I read at the time, but later then when I'm listening for his voice, he'll say, hey, that little bit that you read there, that person you met the other day, this is what I'm saying about this situation. But just spend time enjoying God's presence and remembering how much he loves you. Start from a place of worship. Remember, was it the psalmist said, we enter his courts with thanksgiving and his gates with praise. Come in just from a place of enjoyment, a place of appreciation, a place of awe. It can help some people listening to worship music. Not for others, but just come into God's presence and remember how much Jesus loves you. Let his love wash over you. Some people find simple centering prayers useful. People call centering prayers where you just kind of, where you're using maybe a little bit of scripture or repeating, you know, something. Holy Spirit, come. You know, Jesus, come. Again, it's not a mantra, it's not a method. It doesn't matter how you get there. Whatever helps God to speak to you. The book was very careful to say it's not meditation. You're not trying to empty your head. There was a quote in there that says, resist no thought, react to no thought, retain no thought. But again, as you become quieted, you begin to become aware of God's voice and the difference between God's voice and your voice. And you'll know the difference, and here's how you will know. Because being in God's presence and hearing the Holy Spirit's voice has a result. So you will know because you will be filled with peace. You will know because you will be filled with comfort. You will know because you will have joy. You will know because God will be answering questions. You will know because you will be being challenged. You will know because you will feel like worshipping in response. It's not a method, but you have to start somewhere. I would also say that the more it becomes a habit to make space and to hear God's voice on your own, the more you will start to be able to hear God's voice in the noise. And then, when you're in a place and there's a lot of noise, you're going to start to recognise God's voice amongst the hubbub. Number four. This links in with the video we watched earlier. Follow God's prompting. We heard, listen and obey are two sides of the same coin in the Bible. They're not separated. So if we're listening to the Holy Spirit's voice, the other side of that coin is obeying the Spirit's voice. The Holy Spirit might bring a person's name or face to mind that God wants you to bless, that God wants you to eat with, that God wants you to talk to. Or God might challenge you with something that you're withholding from him, or that you're being disobedient in. Or God might encourage and comfort you in something that you're doing right and say, well done. Give you encouragement, lift you up. One thing's for sure, we're hearing God's voice and spending time in the Holy Spirit's presence, it's going to change the way we live. It's going to change the way we eat and drink with people. It's going to change the way that we bless people. John 10:27, Jesus said this, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." I'm quite convinced that the key to revival in the church today is the whole people of God rediscovering the art of hearing God's voice for themselves on a regular basis. Amen. So what we're going to do is I'm going to give you a little bit of time. It's not going to be long. We're just going to have 5 minutes just to look at the questions on your tables, discuss them together, and we are going to... Actually, do you know what? I'm not sure we need to discuss this. I think we've got it. Do you know what? I'm going to skip that bit, and we're going to go straight to communion. But I kind of have... You'll have to bear with me here, because listening to God's voice... God spoke to me as I was preparing this message and gave me kind of half of what we're going to do. And I'm hoping God's just going to kind of reveal the rest of it to me if I listen as we go along. We're going to have communion now. And I really would like to create some space during communion, as part of communion, just to have some quiet time just listening to God's voice. And... I feel God wants us to do a little bit differently. I'm going to break the bread and read. And Stella's going to read a scripture for me. And I'm going to break the bread and pray. And then I'd like somebody from each table to come up and take a big chunk of bread from the piece that I've broken and take it back to your table and break it and share it on your tables with each other. The first scripture that Stella is going to read about communion talks about how the early community lived surprising lives, how they blessed each other, how they ate together in each other's homes, breaking bread together. And I want to kind of, as we've been talking about that, I want everyone to do that breaking bread together on the table together. And after we've done that and had the bread and the wine, I'm going to... We'll have a time of silence, and I'll read a couple of scriptures during that time of silence as well. Okay? You good with that? Well, yeah.
Verses 42 to 46. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts.
Thank you, sir. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to break bread in your presence in remembrance of you. We thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice on the cross, where your body, like this bread, was broken that we might be made whole. We thank you, Lord, for your body, for your blood, which was spilt for us to wash away our sins and make us clean. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to drink wine again in your presence to remember the greatest act that has ever been committed in the history of the world. So, Lord, we take this bread and wine together now in remembrance of you. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would come upon this place and speak to each and every one of us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to invite someone from each table just to come up and I'll give you a piece of bread each. Spend this time in silence, just listening to God's voice. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Feel God saying that we should just end this meeting in just quietly listening to him, if that's okay with you, Alison. Yeah. So I'll just have a little bit more silence and I'll close in prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here present with us. Thank you that you desire deeply to speak to us, and you promise to do so. Please open our ears this week to hear your voice. To be guided by you. Please give us the opportunity to stop, to create space, to commune with the Almighty King and God of this universe, and above all, Lord, to act on whatever it is that you tell us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Blessed and enjoy hearing God's voice this week.